Welcome back to The Window Light, where we explore the unexplained through personal accounts and documented reports to find the truth and bring it to light. I'm your host, Coy, and in this episode, I'll be playing for you some audio of a recent paranormal investigation I conducted at a late 1800s home in Smithfield, Virginia, a home that was part of the Tynes Plantation. I was allowed access by a good friend of mine named Jed, who's been living on the property for the past several years, and has sort of kept quiet some of the weird activity he's been experiencing over those years. At the end of the investigation, we're left, as usual, with more questions than we have answers. During this episode, you'll hear us using various tools of the paranormal investigation trade, and you'll probably hear us using these poorly, completely wrong, or maybe even with the wrong intentions. I'm by no means an expert in any of these mediums, and have done very little research on how best to use them. I was simply going with my gut, going with instinct, and grabbing what tools seemed to make the most sense at the time, the tool that felt the most right at the time. We were basically looking for any sort of reaction, answers to some of these questions. From where I stand, I think we found part of that. A warning, there may be some parts of this episode the listeners might find disturbing, especially the spirit box sequence, but for the sake of authenticity, I just left it all in and didn't make any edits or cuts. Lastly, an apology to listeners for the very long break between the last episode and this one. Earlier in the year, we had a death in the family that impacted me quite a bit, and honestly, there wasn't much motivation to get the episode released. I also started a new job at roughly the same time, and I'm just now able to get my head back above water and grab some air and make this thing happen. So, with any luck, we will be back on a regular schedule again and bringing you more unexplained stories. So, without additional delay, let's jump into Episode 4, The Smithfield Mirror Monster. I am here in... Does this house have a name? A specific name at all? Not is it called anymore. Anything? But it is a part of the Tynes...
Used to be the Tynes Plantation.
Who do I have with me today?
Jed Mounts.
Hi, Jed. Thank you for letting me see your home here. So what we're going to do over the next hour-ish or so is we're going to do a series of experiments in here, and we're going to chat more about the house and the land around here and a little of the history about it. And the reason we're here is that picture that you showed me. Gosh, when was that picture taken?
That picture was probably taken 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. And so this picture, which we're going to make sure we have posted up where people can see it, is sort of pinkish, whitish, strange-looking, for lack of a better word, eyes.
Yes.
In a mirror. And there's a picture of someone holding an iPad taking this picture. Who was that, and why was this person taking a picture?
She is my girlfriend. Her name is Sheena. She was taking a picture of the antlers, deer antlers that were lit up on the wall.
Okay, so you did have deer antlers, and so if when you're looking at this picture, you'll see that the deer antlers are actually...
To the right.
To the right of the picture, and could not have been casting their own light onto something that was beside them.
Correct.
Right? So your assumption is that these eyes are being reflected from behind where she was standing.
That's correct.
So she was just taking the picture of the antlers.
That's correct.
And it just happened to pop up there.
Yes.
When did you originally notice it?
Right after she took the picture, I was like, that is really creepy.
So aside from that one visible occurrence you've had here, what else have you noted or noticed since you've been in the house for how long now?
I've been in the house for 8 years. And what I've noticed is, like, upstairs, you can hear, like something like moving around or doors closing, and you know, I'm usually down in this room, in the living room, and I'm just like, I'm not pretending like I didn't hear that.
And do you ever go upstairs to check and see what it was, or are you just ignoring it?
I have went up there a few times, but I couldn't ever explain why I heard the noises.
Is there a certain time of day when you will hear them?
Usually later at night, probably after 11 p.m.
Okay. And you sleep upstairs?
I sleep downstairs.
Okay, so you're downstairs. Okay, so people aren't up there very often.
No, I don't go up there unless I absolutely have to.
So this is a two-story house.
Correct.
With extra rooms up there.
Yes.
Why aren't you going up there more often?
Because I think it's haunted.
So the first device that we used was a basic EMF reader, electromagnetic field reader. Electromagnetic fields are created by differences in voltage. So the higher the voltage, the stronger will be the field. Magnetic fields are created when electric current flows. The greater the current, the stronger the magnetic field. An electric field will exist even when there is no current flowing. If current does flow, the strength of the magnetic field will vary with power consumption, but the electric field strength will be constant. These fields are present everywhere in our environment and are invisible to the human eye. Electric fields are produced by the local buildup of electric charges in the atmosphere associated with thunderstorms. The Earth's magnetic field causes a compass needle to orient to the north-south direction and is used by birds and fish for navigation. So these fields are also generated by human-made sources. X-rays that are used to diagnose broken limbs, the electricity that comes out of every power socket, and various kinds of higher frequency radio waves are used to transmit information via TV antennas, radio stations, or mobile phone stations. So we were basically using this to pick up any type of reading of an electromagnetic field nature that was coming from a spot where we didn't expect it to be. So if we used it near a wall socket or a power meter outside, we certainly expected to see something. If anything had happened inside where it wasn't expected, then obviously we would have taken note of that and wonder what it is. So the next piece that's coming up here is us using the reader outside of the house and what we found there.
Hello? Oh, okay. All right, so we are out front of the house here. I'm going to turn on my EMF meter, and what the EMF meter does is picks up any electromagnetic fields that may be unusual. Got a temperature at 78.4 right now. What are these on the front of the house here? These lights.
Yeah. Okay. Solar lights.
Okie dokie. It's nice out here. We couldn't have picked a better day for it. So we have some exposed wiring on the outside of the house. This is cable line, maybe?
Yes. It goes to the cable box right there.
All this legal?
Mm-hmm. I use a fire stick anyways.
Good. That was from just the power meter, so that's not unexpected. Right. You have any critters ever come outside here?
I mean, copperheads, you know, bears, coyotes, I mean, nothing too special.
That's good. It's a nice backyard. What are you keeping that thing out there? Huh? What are you keeping that thing out there?
You talking about the trailer?
Yeah.
That's just somebody left it out here. It's just like a garage.
That's pretty handy.
Since I don't really have a nice covered area.
Now, I see you do have a Beware the Dog sign here.
Oh, yeah. That's been on there for years.
So there's no dog going to run up and scare me here in a second?
No.
Okay. Careful now. Well, everything's looking pretty good so far. You got a window open there.
The inner window's closed.
All right. Well, I think so far we can eliminate any... What is that? What does this thing do?
It's a lightning rod, so...
Oh, my God.
It grounds the lightning.
All right, so just for the record, you do have a giant lightning rod on the right side of the house going all the way to the roof, which is upstairs.
Yeah, it goes to pretty much like a pointy pole, so the lightning will hit that and not the house.
Got it. What's that made out of? Is that copper, metal? What is it?
Some kind of metal, I'm not sure.
All right, well, that's pretty good. So the only EMF stuff we had outside was just where the cable box is. So that's good. Let's check the downstairs real quick if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So for the record, I just checked the tiny little downstairs closet thing there, and there was nothing, which is good, because you didn't say there was anything, right? It's upstairs where our issue is. Are we able to go upstairs?
Yeah.
What is this?
Old speaker system.
It's not plugged in, though, is it?
No.
Okay. What's that buzzing? Get outside. Oh, it's your freezer. Mm-hmm. All good downstairs, but that just confirms that we knew it was all good downstairs already. All right, here we go. Trying the upstairs. It is still 7:27. Trip hazard here. We're going to avoid that. Why don't you just rent a house without an upstairs?
Huh?
Why don't you just rent a house without an upstairs?
I don't know.
That's probably the better option.
So this is actually an access to the one of the attics.
One of the attics.
Yes.
God, okay.
There's actually one downstairs, too.
How are you going to have a downstairs attic?
I have no idea.
You got a little TV here. That's good. Does this TV ever come on by itself for any reason?
Not that I noticed.
That's good. Look, there's another tiny door.
Well, these are the doors that I hear close, and see, the weird thing is, like, this doesn't close all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll hear something like that, or I'll hear, you know, well, that.
Well, I got a question here. There's a latch on this door.
Yeah.
On the outside.
Which I didn't put on there, but it was there when I got there.
No, I'm going to take a picture of that.
That's kind of creepy.
That's not normal. This might be a good time to talk a little bit more about the Tynes Plantation. There were, in fact, several plantations owned by members of the Tynes family in several counties of Virginia and North Carolina. So much of this land was owned by Robert Tynes, who died in 1974. Robert inherited the land from his father, Timothy Tynes, who died in 1752, and built a home there that still stands. Robert was a very successful planter and merchant. His name occurs frequently in the court and church records of the last half of the 18th century. When he died, he left the plantation to his only surviving son, Timothy.
Timothy Tynes ran the plantation until his death in 1802. He was a bachelor. At his death, he had 81 enslaved persons on his property. In his will, he freed every one of them, much to the consternation of his white family, and gave them most of his extensive land holdings. The freed slaves are the ancestors of most of the Black Tynes families of Virginia. One of the few parcels of land that Timothy gave to members of his white family was the Tynes homestead. This went to his nephew, David Tynes. However, David was not a businessman like his great-uncle Robert. Without the large plantation and the slaves to work it, David could not afford to keep the home up. He sold it in 1818 and moved his family to Tennessee. So the next device we used was a pendulum. I have a small pendulum that is mostly weighted by a carved piece of tiger eye suspended from a length of steel chain. If held perfectly still, the pendulum doesn't move or sway, just stays in the same spot. If a question is asked to the room, sometimes the pendulum will begin to sway in one direction or another. So the easiest way to determine what the motions mean is to ask questions that you either have a yes or no answer already in mind. So with this pendulum, we've pretty much determined that a back to front was the a response to the negative, a left to right was a response to the positive, and just circular motions we assume just meant there was no answer or it was uncertain. So I used the pendulum a bit here, and also it's handed off to Jed at one point to see what he can get out of it.
Okay, we are recording again. I have the pendulum out now, which sometimes can be used to interact with things we can't see, whatever that may be. So usually it should just hang, you know, still, just like it's doing right now, until we, you know, compose a question to the room. So what we'll do, since we're here and we don't know what's in this house here, we'll just say, is there anything of a non-humanoid variety in this home? So we got a yes there. What is residing in this home? Are you malicious in any way? So again, we got a very subtle yes here. And again, I'm holding my hand as still as possible. All right. You ask some. Wait, you hold an ask some. Hold it as still as possible there. And once it stops shaking, you can kind of feel if it's not doing anything. There you go.
Do you mean me any harm?
So we're getting another... Wait. We're actually getting sort of a rotation now. Indecisive.
Okay, did I do something to offend you?
Apparently you did.
Did I invade on your territory?
Then I don't know.
Looks like it's going.
Maybe it's a yes.
Okay, do you want me to leave?
Nope. That's like that says no right there.
Okay. I have to ask yes or no questions, right?
That's typically the only way I know how to make them work, but I don't know for a fact.
Okay. Are you going to hurt me in the near future? That looks like a no.
That's a no.
Okay. I don't know what to ask.
No, you're fine. There we go. And there's definitely enough going on there, because again, you can see how this thing works. If you don't move at all, it does not move. It's just there as perfectly still as it can be. There's a little wiggle just from here, you know. But it doesn't make those decisive movements. Unless you're usually making some sort of a query or something. Have you been here for a very long time? Is that no? Back and forth? Front to back, I mean?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, did he, or did this object arrive while I was in this house?
Good question. Yep.
Yes.
God. So, that's a yes. So this is something that's attracted to you, or has shown up since you've been here.
I wonder if it's my bad karma.
It could literally, this could just be bad karma. It doesn't have to be an entity at all. Oh boy. That was pretty telling. That's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next device we used was the Spirit Box. The Spirit Box, at its most basic, is a multiband radio. It has the ability to scan through frequencies at varying rates, usually quite rapidly, is how I've found it works best. It can either go up the dial or backwards down the dial. I suppose there are two schools of thought on how they are used for paranormal investigation. One, either the listener is taking in so much random white noise that it quiets the mind in such a way that the listener is able to receive messages they normally wouldn't hear, or that something is something outside of the human realm is actually using those static frequencies in order to communicate. So what's coming up here, and I think I describe it in the audio already, but I'm wearing a blindfold and have noise-canceling earphones on and listening to this static at very loud volumes. I think you can even pick up some of the static on the audio. And I'm having Jed ask questions to the room, and either I'm hearing something in the static or something is communicating directly to my brain. I don't know. But whenever I heard something in the static that sounded like words or a complete word, I would repeat it as quickly and as clearly as I could. Sometimes it was just sounds. Sometimes it was very loud noises that was louder than the typical static, and it would be sort of jarring, and I wasn't able to repeat what I heard at all. So here's what we got. All right. So we're about to do a spirit box session here. Jed will be asking questions and, leave an amount of room, because I never know what it's going to do.
Okay.
So just leave a little space. If you don't hear an answer immediately, you might not hear anything at all. Might not be anything here. So, get this jacked up. So I'm basically going to sensory deprive myself. It just said too late. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right, spirit in the house. How long have you been here? Essence that is in this house, do you mean me any harm?
What?
essence in this house. Can you clarify your response?
You know.
Okay, essence in this house. What is that I know? Did I do anything to offend you or make you mad?
No.
Essence in this house, why have you picked this house to reside?
I couldn't make it out.
Essence, be more clear and tell me why you are here. How can I help you? Essence, how can I help you? How can I help you move on or move forward?
That's to be.
Essence, I need you to be more clear. I need you to show me what I need to do.
I just heard like weird old-timey music.
Okay. Essence, are you from a long time ago?
Yes.
After that strange session, we also did a few tarot readings using both a Rider deck and the Thoth deck. As I'm not an expert on reading these, we'll be doing a follow-up portion on an upcoming episode with a guest who can provide some real insight on what we discovered in pulling those cards. So what did we find? Hard to say. And I'll leave interpretation completely up to you, the listener. The image that started this entire investigation was the picture that Jed had shared with me earlier. At first glance, it appears to just be two pinkish glowing eyes set deep into a mirror. Is that what's causing the disturbance in this house? Are the eyes that were only photographed just that once a manifestation of something else, something bigger? Is it the house itself, the land, the history of the land? Did Jed bring something with him when he moved in? Who knows? I don't have the answers. But I think we got more than enough to warrant a real investigation into this house, with more people involved than just me playing amateur hour. At any rate, I want to thank Jed for allowing me a look inside his home and for taking the time to go through this experience. Let us know your thoughts about this in the comment section of wherever you may be hearing this. And don't forget to subscribe for more content about this and other strange occurrences. If you have a story to share with us, have questions, want to send something our way, you can please email us at windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com. That's windowlightpodcast, all one word, @protonmail.com. Or send us a letter to The Window Light at P.O. Box 5102, Williamsburg, Virginia, 23188. As always, keep your intentions pure and your thoughts positive. Remember that karma is a real thing, and that there's more going on out there in the dark than you may realize. So let's put some light on it. We'll see you soon.